Hey, my name is Dr. Brendan McCarthy. I am the Chief Medical Officer of Protea Medical Center in Chandler, Arizona. Thank you so much for tuning in to my podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about something that's, I always feel awkward talking about this stuff, but I got to talk about it because you need to hear it, and it's never fun. Birth control pills, again. I'm going to talk about how oral contraceptives are causing depression in women. And this came up from a study that was just published this week, 2023, June 2023, recent study. They did a quarter of a million women. They did a study on a quarter of a million women. And they found that women who began taking oral contraceptives as adults have a 92% increased risk of depression compared to those women who never took the pill. And then women who started taking birth control pills before the age of 20 had 130% increased rate, not increased risk, increased rate of depression as opposed to women who have not. The risk of depression is highest in the first 2 years of taking birth control, and starting the pill as an adolescent increases the risk of depression later in life, meaning you start that earlier in life. Later on in life, even not on birth control pills, you have a higher risk for depression. That's a big thing. That's a big, big, big thing. I'm going to read out of the findings. Our findings support that oral contraceptive use is causally associated with the increased risk of depression in adolescents as well as in adults, especially shortly after initiation. Further research to determine the cause of hormone contraceptive precipitated depression are warranted. Recent study, big one. Something I've been talking about in the podcast, but also in my clinic. I've been talking about this for years, for decades. And you know it too. You know, there's a disconnect here that happens. I feel like I'm talking to this camera now. Sorry. I've never done that. It's like, oh man, if I don't laugh about this, I'm going to cry. I'm talking about something that's depressing and horrible that you are given and not informed about. And I want you to know, I'm not laughing because I think it's funny, and I'm not laughing because I see you guys. It's all I do. It's my life. This is my work. I see it. And it really jacks up your life, and you're valid. Doctors prescribe oral contraceptives to you on the regular, and you guys come back and say, I can't take this. It makes me crazy. I can't take this. I'm depressed. And they keep prescribing different ones until it seems like it hits. Doesn't that sound crazy to you? It is crazy. There's no screening. There's no lab work. There's none of that. None trying to figure you out. Just, man, that didn't work. I'll give you this one. There's no real dialogue with depression regarding this and the risks and the long-term things. I mean, even if they're not using research, your physician, maybe your research should just, your physician should say, in my experience, because if you came into the doctor's office and said, I can't take this birth control because I'm depressed or I'm going to lose my mind, how many other people went through that office saying the same thing to them? And they're still doing the same thing. Is that good? No. It's like the system isn't learning. As physicians, we're supposed to learn from our mistakes. I learn every day in my practice. If I see something that doesn't work, I get rid of it. I re-engage it. I figure this out. That's what I do. I don't just repeat it to the same person. Someone else comes in like, well, we'll try something, the same thing. And if that doesn't work, I'll change a variation of the same thing. Bad medicine. Bad medicine. How many of you out there have discontinued contraceptives because it made you crazy? How many of you felt invalidated because you're taking oral contraceptives and you have depression and you're that only person that has it? And they're like, well, you know, that's just what it is. I want to tell you, I am not against oral contraceptives. I have no agenda about it whatsoever. I am not anti-birth control. I want to say that we know there are some serious problems with oral contraceptives. There are really serious issues with oral contraceptives, and it's a valid issue. And the women who experience these things are valid. And I know I've spoken on previous podcasts, you know, oral contraceptives reduces your libido permanently in many cases. Permanently reduces, it robs you of your libido. That's yours. That's so personal and so intimate. That's yours. And there's no informed consent on that one. and the depression you experience with it, you're valid. And we know that there's been minimal to nil research in women regarding oral contraceptives ever. They just come out with new variations of the same thing without addressing the problem. They're making new variations of contraceptives constantly because that's the market. You have all these new ones, and funny, like Brittany, the other doctor, Dr. Warren, she worked, I don't think she watches these, but Brittany's funny. We always work, she's, I talk about her Dr. Warren in my practice, and on a previous podcast. Warren and I have been together the longest, and she's just my dearest friend and brilliant physician. She has funny ways of putting things. She always jokes about how birth control, they just re-release it under a new name. They always give them names that are named after women, like Heather is a new one. I mean, they always name them after girls. It's like, why are they doing that? They re-release the contraceptive without changing the real problem with it. They're not addressing the problems with your mental health. They're not addressing the impact it has there. It doesn't address the impact it has on sex hormone binding globulin, testosterone, libido, as I mentioned. It's more than just libido. And tune into that podcast for that specifically. I don't want to get too deep into it with this one, but just know that. I'm not anti-oral contraceptives. My goal is to educate you and give you a firm understanding of what's happening in your body so you make an educated decision, because it's your body. You deserve that. The thing is I want to empower you so that you can go into that environment with your physician and speak in terms that they will understand, and that you'll be able to advocate for yourself in a way that's clear. That's one of my goals with this. The other one is with it, you know, some of you have to use oral contraceptives, and I know it, and you should have no shame on that one either. You know, I'm not here to judge you. That is not my right. That is not my space. I've refused to do that. I am here to try and make sure that what you do doesn't harm you, you know, or minimize the harm. So those of you that need to be on oral contraceptives, I get it. I'm with you. I understand. I'm going to do my best to biohack it. And that's what this episode is about. How do you biohack oral contraceptives so they don't ruin you, you know? I first want to say there's no oral contraceptive that I would like to prescribe ever, period. And if my patient presents to clinic on oral contraceptive, I'm going to do my best to mitigate the side effects of that oral contraceptive in their body. Okay? That's what we're going to talk about. The pathway causing depression in oral birth control pills isn't fully researched out. They're just barely now acknowledging that it does. And I mean, birth control has been around for like 60, 70 years. God, it's been around for a long time. And just now they're starting to say, oh, well, you know, it causes depression. You guys really have got the short end of the stick. If you're a woman out there right now who is entertaining the idea of getting into medicine or getting into research, do so, please. We need you. Your fellow women really need you. There needs to be a sea change with this. There needs to be a massive upheaval when it comes to this, because this is ridiculous. I'm having this conversation right now. I feel like I'm talking about something that's been going on for 70 years, and, you know, how do I biohack this? How do I understand this? How do I treat someone on birth control who has depression? How can I get in there and be helpful? How you approach this is you want to understand what's going on when you take oral contraceptives. You want to understand the biochemistry of it, and then you want to specifically get into the psychoneuroendocrinology of it, which is kind of a cool term. I like that. That's actually a real word. You can Google that one, because that's the way you want to understand what's happening with the patient. You want to kind of reverse engineer what may be happening in the background. So let me start by saying oral birth control, we know, suppresses natural estradiol and natural progesterone levels. We know it'll suppress natural estradiol and natural progesterone. And that's how it works. By suppressing estradiol and progesterone, you're stopping ovulation and the release of an egg. That's what they're trying to do with this. Estradiol and progesterone are essential for proper mood and neurological function. Previous podcasts will go into that in great depth. It just does. You need it. It isn't estradiol and progesterone, though, that's really affecting fertility. It's ovulation, it's that egg. It's not estradiol, progesterone. This is important. Just keep that in the back of your head. Know that estradiol and progesterone are not going to be affecting fertility as much as the ovulation and the releasing of the egg. That's the important part. Suppressing estradiol and progesterone stops that ovulation. And how they do this, they give you a really garbage version of that hormone in a synthetic of whatever synthetic estrogen they're putting there and synthetic progesterone. And those two are not beneficial for brain chemistry. Synthetic estrogen, synthetic progesterone, specifically synthetic progesterone, has zero benefit to your brain chemistry. Progesterone plays a massive role in brain chemistry, first with the synthesis of something called monoamines. You know them as serotonin and melatonin. When you take synthetic progesterone and you suppress natural progesterone, your synthetic progesterone will go down and stop the uterus from being overstimulated. Sure, it has that benefit there, but it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier, convert to allopregnanolone, and then bind to that GABA receptor, preventing anxiety. It doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier and enhance the conversion of tryptophan to serotonin to melatonin. Progesterone does that. Synthetic doesn't. The contraceptive doesn't. So when someone's on oral contraceptives, what do? We want to try and promote that monoamine pathway. We want to help make serotonin. So if the patient presents to clinic, what are we going to do? We can give them a precursor to serotonin, something called 5-hydroxytryptophan, between 1 and 300 milligrams. We could do that along with something called pyridoxal 5-phosphate, which is an active version of vitamin B6, about 50 milligrams. And then we can see where it goes. Now, I want to say this. I am a physician. I'm speaking to you over the internet here. I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm not telling you how to treat this. I'm telling you what I do clinically, what's worked for me. I will say I never, ever, ever do this without lab work. Now, I know there's other alternative doctors out there and mainstream physicians and all the everyone else who are like, well, just take it anyway. It's an over-the-counter supplement, 5-HTP and P5P, pyridoxal 5-phosphate. You just take it. I don't do that for several reasons. One is, you know, if you're on an SSRI, antidepressant, and you take 5-hydroxytryptophan, what's that going to do to your serotonin levels? Do we even know? No, we should know. So we shouldn't do that without a physician being there with you. Vitamin B6, is there a problem with taking that? Not really. But you know, here's the big part. When you do this in clinic with me, with your physician, your doctor, the goal of your doctor is to run the labs and to verify you're having benefit with it. That's the key. Because you can go out there and buy 5-HTP and buy P5P and start taking it. You may feel a little bit better, but was that it? Was that the solution? Was it enough of a dose? Was it too much of a dose? That's the relationship you should have with your physician. We're supposed to be there working with you hand in hand, trying to figure this out. Because that's who we are. I'm not supposed to put you on a different version of birth control and see if that works. I'm supposed to say, all right, this is possibly what may be happening downstream. Here's some lab work. Let's try this. Let's run lab work again. Let's see how you feel. That's good medical care. You deserve that. Did you hear how I just described that? It sounds so foreign to some people, and I know it, but it shouldn't be. This should be your daily experience with your doctor. You shouldn't see your doctor daily. And if you do, God bless you. But you should, like, you know what I mean? Like, you, whenever you see us, this is what it should be like, hand in hand. And as I mentioned a moment ago, progesterone crosses that blood-brain barrier, and it binds that anxiety receptor, the GABA receptor in the brain. That's a big thing. That's important. So we want to kind of promote that pathway. So those patients, we'll give them progesterone. And you think to myself, well, Brendan, if you give them progesterone, is that going to affect their fertility? Nope. But do you do it without your doctor? No. You need your doctor with you, hand in hand, working with you to figure out the right dose, how it works. That's why it's a medication. That's why we prescribe it. I'm not trying to take the power away from you by saying you need a doctor to do this. I'm not trying to take the power away from you by saying don't take 5-HTP and P5P on your own. I'm trying to say these are good solutions to do hand in hand with a doctor with you. I've said this before. I can't be my own doctor because, I mean, I would leave myself a dumpster fire. I would be a mess. I mean, I don't have perspective. I can't prescribe myself medications. It's illegal, but it's also ridiculously bad. It's like a bad idea. I should never do that. I shouldn't perform surgery on myself. You know what I mean? You need a doctor that works hand in hand with you, that doesn't charge you $1 million. That does a good job, that cares about you, that sits by your side. That's what I'm advocating for here. So the study that I'm citing here, I didn't mention in the very beginning, I'm going to cite right here. This is a population-based cohort study of oral contraceptive use and risk of depression. That was published in the Epidemiology and Psychiatric Sciences Journal in 2023, June, which is right now. I hope this helps. I truly do. And your comments mean the world to me. Justin and I, my producer and I, we read through those things and they help drive the podcast. I know I repeat myself every podcast to say the same darn thing, but it's true. It really does. I'm not here to sell you a supplement. I'm not here to get you in my clinic. I'm not doing any of those things. I'm here to empower you, to give you a good understanding of what you're dealing with. I'm here to help you become your own best advocate in the room with your doctor. I'm here to inspire physicians to return to a healthy relationship with you. I really am. If you're a doctor listening to this, this is my goal. I'm also here to inspire those of you who feel drawn to becoming a physician because you see this needs to be fixed. We need you. I hope this helps. Please like, share, and subscribe, and I'll see you next time.